It was interesting to hear you talk about revival, and I believe God can send revival and will send revival. But there's something that has to happen first, and it's a purification of his people. And that isn't the title of my what I'm going to say, but it is kind of along those lines. And what I was going to be speaking about is a word that crops up in the Bible quite a lot. And it's one of my favourite words, and it's zealous. When God talks about someone who's zealous, it's someone whose heart is really after God. And that's sort of what I'm going to be talking about for a little bit. Is your heart after God? Are you 100% following him? Are you giving your everything? Now, I'll just say, for those of you who don't understand the word zealous, Roy, it's not a bad start. zealous. The word in the dictionary. Defined in the dictionary is to be filled or inspired by intense enthusiasm for a cause, person, or belief. And some of the synonyms are passionate, burning, and fanatical. So I want to ask you the question tonight. Are you zealous about your faith? Are you zealous for God? Does your passion burn inside? And this is a challenge, and I'm challenging you, and I'm challenging myself here, because this talk, I thought, I'll only talk about something that I need to challenge myself with, so I'm not being hypocritical. So this is a challenge to me, I'm going to read from the book of Numbers, chapter 25, 1 to 13. I'll just give you a little bit of an overview of what's happening at this time. It's the children of Israel have... they've come out of Egypt, and they're in the wilderness, they're in the desert, and they're traveling, they're kind of going around in circles, and God has given them rules and laws. New, come on. So the children of Israel have been given laws to follow for their good. And God has a plan for them. And God set out these laws to preserve them and give them a hope. And you know, they didn't follow them very much because the devil had a plan for them as well. You know, as Christians, God has a plan for you, but the devil wants to destroy every good work that's going on. And so this is where the children of Israel are. They've been told not to intermarry with other religions, not to have anything to do with the evil people that were there at the time. And they have started to become involved with the Midianites. So chapter 25, we're reading verses 1 to 13. Now Israel remained in Acacia Grove, and the people began to commit harlotry with the women of Moab. They invited the people to the sacrifices of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. So Israel was joined to Baal of Peor, and the anger of the Lord was aroused against Israel. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Take all the leaders of all the people and hang the offenders before the Lord out in the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may turn away from Israel." So Moses said to the judges of Israel, "Every one of you kill his men who are joined to Baal of Peor." And indeed, one of the children of Israel came and presented to his brethren a Midianite woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation. And the children of Israel who were weeping at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Now when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saw it, he rose from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. And he went to the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her body. So the plague was stopped among the children of Israel. And those who died in the plague were 24,000. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, has turned back my wrath from the children of Israel, because he was zealous with my zeal among them, so that I did not consume the children of Israel in my zeal. Therefore say, behold, I give to him my covenant of peace, and it shall be to him and his descendants and him a covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God, and he made atonement for the children of Israel. Thank God for his word. And that is quite a gory picture painted there, that this man Phinehas saw the evil that was going on, and he could take it, he'd had enough. Now before you all misquote me and go into Penrith and start stabbing people for being for sinning against God, let's put it into context. The Old Testament was a covenant of it was a covenant of justice. It was one that was made with the people of Israel. They had to follow those laws, or else they would die. As we read there, God had sent a plague among the people because of their sin and because of their turning against God. But the covenant we live under is one of is a covenant of love. It's a covenant of grace. When Jesus came and died on the cross to take our sin, he called us to live under a covenant of love, to love people. And you know, it's always very important to have a cross, because that is the only thing that separates us from a covenant that requires justice. Jesus died so that we can have, so that we don't have to fulfill these things that are in the Old Testament. Having said that, I do believe that everything in the Old Testament is something that we can learn from. Everything in the Old Testament is something God's laid down for us to learn from. And this Phinehas was zealous before God, and God's calling us to be zealous and hate the things that God hates, the injustice in the world and the evil, but also to love people. So God looks into our hearts, and he doesn't see the outward appearance. He sees what's in the inside, and he sees that what our thoughts are towards him. You know, it's easy to fool people. It's easy to kind of look good and do all the right things and say all the right things. You know, we can stand here, and it was great what you shared and what Mum shared about revival. We can all stand here and say it's great, you know, God send revival. But it takes more than that more than that for it to come. You know, we need to purify ourselves. We need to live holy lives before God. I can't quite remember the psalm, but it does say only those with clean hands and a pure heart will see God. And you know, that's the kind of people that we need to be. You know, if we want to make a difference in this generation, where in this country people are turning from God and looking to dishonour God and ridicule God even, we need to be the people who've got the passion and zeal and desire just to honour God before anything else. And I believe God will send revival to this country. I also believe, in the church at the moment, especially in the Western world, I think people seem to be deciding to compromise, and this is what we've read about here. The people of Israel had started to compromise, and God hates compromise. God is, the Bible says that God is a jealous God, and we should have no other gods before Him. And I believe, I read a quote recently, and it's from one of the leaders of one of the biggest churches in the world. They sell books, CDs, teaching all over the world. They've got a lot of churches in America, in all over the world. And recently read a quote, and it went, said something like, "The world has changed around us, and it's a challenge for the church to stay relevant." Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Big Church Man. We were never called. The church was never called to stay relevant. The church is called to honor God. And the church is called to be steadfast in our following of Him. So, you hear a lot of things said, like a lot of Christian churches, these teachers coming out. We've got to stay relevant. We've got to move with the times. I don't know where scripturally they get that from, but we are not called to move with the times. We're called to honour God. You hear people say, "Oh, but there's been scientific discoveries that have proved the Bible untrue." Well, I don't believe that either. And even if someone comes up with a scientific experiment that disproves God, well, I won't believe it, because the Bible has everything in it. It's never been disproved. It's the truth. It's God's word, and He speaks to us through His Spirit. And we need to be a people who are unwaved by the things of this world and what's going on out there. I'm just going to read Matthew 5. Verse 13 says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Verse 13 says about salt. And who likes a meal of salt? Anyone ever spoon salt into the mouth? No, it doesn't taste good. But it brings the taste out of other things. And it says if the salt loses its saltiness, what use is it? That's what we're called to be, is salt. Among everything that's going on in the world, we're called to be that taste that brings out the good in other things. And if we lose our honouring of God, if we step back, if we compromise what we believe, then we're not salt anymore. We're just like everything else, useless. And sometimes when you share the gospel with people, you know, they're easily to get offended, you know, and we're told, you know, a lot of people say, oh, you know, you shouldn't offend people, but the gospel offends people, the cross offends people. That's why it's important, because the cross will offend a sinner. You know, Jesus died for us on the cross, but for what? For our sin. Oh, I'm not a sinner, that's what people say, I'm a good person. I'm sorry, but everything that was taught from the Bible will offend those who have no care of God, because they think they're not sinners. Well, it's our job to bring them to a place where they realise that they are sinners, and that can offend people. And if you're offended, then I'm sorry. If you're offended by what I say tonight, sorry, buddy. I'm going to read Titus 2, verse 11 to 14. Oh, could someone read that out?
For the grace of God has appeared for the salvation of all men, training us to renounce irreligion and worldly passions, and to live sober, upright, and godly lives in this world, awaiting our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all iniquity, and to purify for himself a people of his own, who are zealous of good deeds. Declare these things, exhort and reprove with all authority. Let no one disregard you.
In the King James Version, it actually talks about God purifying a peculiar people. And you know, it's great that God calls us to be peculiar, and it's great to see so many people here tonight who have heeded that call. but God does call us to be different. He calls us to stand out a little bit, and I always find it such a blessing when people say to me, what's different about you? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Why do you think that? Why don't you agree with this? And it's great, it's such, and sometimes people will ridicule you a little bit for it, you know, especially, you know, guys I play football with or lads I work with, they'll kind of laugh at you. But, you know, it's such a blessing, and it's great, you know, because I believe that if you're zealous of God, you only care about what he thinks. It doesn't matter what the world thinks of us. You know, it matters what God thinks. And there's another verse, I'm not sure if we'll come to it the end, but it's to do with that. But now I'm just going to share a little story with you that's quite hard for me to share. It's something that I'm quite embarrassed about, but I'm going to just share it with you to encourage you. Now, it was about 4 years ago, me and Bex were just going out. I don't think we were engaged at the time, one Saturday night, I think it was, we decided we'd go and watch a film, there wasn't much on at the cinema, apart from Toy Story 3, which is a film for like 7-year-old kids. So it was a little bit embarrassing to sort of be going and seeing a kid's film, but we decided we'd go anyway. And do you know, God speaks to us in a lot of different ways, in a lot of different times, and God sometimes uses strange times to speak to you. And, you know, there is an example in the Bible that God once spoke to his disciples through an ass. No jokes, please. So anyway, we're going to watch Toy Story 3, and has anyone who's seen Toy Story 3? Who's seen any of the Toy Story series? So quite a few of us here. Anyone who hasn't seen it, it's a series, it's like kids' films animated, and what happens is there's a bunch of toys in a kid's room, and when the kid kind of leaves the room, they all come to life, and they get into all kinds of different scrapes, and then by the time the kid comes back, they're all back in their place, and no one's noticed the kid. But in the third film, Toy Story, this kid, Andy, has grown up, and he's not playing with his toys so much anymore, and they're trying to think of a way, you know, they're all down about it, you know, and some of them think he doesn't care about them anymore. So he's about to go to college, and his mum packs his toys up into a box, and he takes them down to the local playgroup, and she donates them to there. And the story of it is about these toys trying to find their way back to the master. And they go on an epic journey, and what happens is they come alongside some other people, a bit like the story we were talking. Some people are trying to find their way back to the master, but these people come alongside them and make them compromise and think, oh, you know, it's better to stay here. And you know, like I said before, God speaks to us in a lot of different ways. And as this story was building, I just got a vision of the Christian life. And you know, it got to a very poignant and important part of the story. And you know, I could take no more. And I started crying. Yes. In the cinema, full of kids, and I was in tears. And they weren't just, you know, a noble kind of tear or two. I was starting to yell. You know, and I just wanted it to stop. And we weren't even engaged at the time, and I could feel these eyes looking at me. And I could read her mind, and she was looking at me thinking, no way did this guy provide for me. No way that this is the one. And, you know, it was very, you know, I cried like a 10-year-old girl, and if there's any 10-year-old girls here, that's a disrespect to 10-year-old girls. It was pathetic. But the reason I was praying is because God had spoken to me. He showed me a vision of how the Christian life should be. And he showed me one of the characters in it was zealous after God. One of the characters loved, not after God, after his master, after Andy. He loved his master. He wanted to get back to him. He would do anything to get back to his master. The other toys weren't, they were put off by other things, or they got caught up in other things. But one of them had a zeal after his master. And God was showing me that that's how I should be. God was speaking into my heart saying, I want you to be like this. Now, I have got a few. Vicky's going to help me out. We have the first slide. Now, God doesn't want you to be Mr. Potato Head. Because Mr. Potato Head was fine when everything was going well. He loved his master. He liked to spend time with his master and play with him. But you know, as soon as things started going badly, Mr. Potato Head turned. He said, oh, Andy doesn't love us. He doesn't care about us anymore. He's off to college. We need to just make do with where we are. We need to just stay here and make a life for ourselves. And you know, God doesn't want Mr. Potato Head. He also doesn't want Buzz Lightyear. Because who is like him? Although he's good and he looks the part, you know, he's got a lot going on there. He's got the picture of what looks good, and he looks loyal. But when it comes down to it, he was easily dissuaded into other things. And I've got a verse here for all of us, and it's Matthew 7. 22-23. The lamp of the body. No, that's not the right one. I see. If anyone can find the verse, it does. In Matthew, it talks about. It's where God has cast away people into hell, and they've come to Him saying, "Lord, Lord, did we not do any good works?"
7:22. That's what you just said.
Yes, please. I must have been looking at the wrong one. Sorry.
Many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?" And then I will declare to them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness."
Yeah. Thank you. And, you know, Buzz Lightyear, he did a lot of good things. He did a lot of, you know, he helped with them, trying to get them back and things like that. But his heart wasn't after his master. And, you know, whenever I read this verse, I don't know about any of you, but that verse seems to jump off the page and punch me right in the face. Because, you know, God isn't interested in your works. Good works are good. But God's interested in your heart, about your passion towards Him. I know Buzz did a lot of good things, but he didn't have the same passion as the one I'm going to talk about next, which is Woody. You know, Woody loved his master. Woody would forsake everything else to get back to his master because he loved him. And I'm just going to play a short video, and this is the part where I really broke down. So, there are tissues available.
Here you go.
My cowboy!
Woody? What's he doing in there?
You're a sneak, you mind fool.
What?
Faithful he's been. And you know what, that part, we were watching that film and I could hear those words, but the only thing that was ringing around my head was Matthew 25 verse 21, where it says, "His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.'" And you know, in this life, when it's over, there are seven words that really matter. And those seven words are, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And those are the words that God is longing to say to you. When Jesus meets you in glory, there are seven words that you don't want to hear. Is it six? Well done, good and faithful servant. Good math, you were paying attention. Well done. You were listening. Okay, six words. There are, I think, six words that you don't want to hear. And that's depart from me. I never knew you. That's seven. There we go. But yeah, I don't want to, I do want to scare people. You know, this is serious stuff. You know, one day we will face God. And God wants to see people who've been zealous towards Him, who've honoured Him throughout their life, who've stuck fast to His teachings. You know, and He wants to say those words to you. He doesn't want to say, depart from me. But there are people that He will say it to. So I just want to encourage you, you know, to have a passion and a zeal for God. Stick to His word. Pray, you know. It's just to encourage you that, God loves His people. And God loves those who are passionate for Him. So I'm just going to close with a word of prayer, and then I'll invite the worship team back up. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word, Lord. We thank You for Your teachings, Lord. And Lord, we thank You that You've been a faithful God throughout the ages, Lord. Lord, we thank You that You've taken care of Your people, Lord. And we just pray that in this place, in this church, Lord, You will raise up a people who have a passion for Your word. People who have a burning desire to honor Your teachings. People who have a burning desire to spread Your gospel to people that need it. Lord, we just pray that each and every one of us in this room, Lord, will take something away from this evening that will settle in our hearts and grow within us that we can be a people who honor Your name, Lord. And I also pray for anyone in this place tonight, Lord, who doesn't know You as their personal Lord and Savior, Lord, that they will speak to someone after. Lord, that they will desire to get to know more of You, Lord. And Lord, that they will desire to repent of their sin and turn and follow You. And Lord, and live a life that is honoring to You and that is glorifying to You and to bring glory to Your great name by the precious blood of Jesus. Amen.